Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Mac Show. I'm Jeff Gamet. I'm your interim host, sitting in for Ewan Rankin. And this is our first Mac Show of 2023. And I'm super excited because I get to start the year and end my week hanging out with amazing, beautiful people. I'm really happy to be here. Speaking of beautiful people, Ben, how are you?
I'm good, Jeff. I feel like I haven't been on the show since last year.
It kind of feels that way. Yeah. More beautiful people. Patrice, how are you?
I'm doing well. I've had the time of the week off. Today is a public holiday in Austria. One of those religious ones that I never remember what they actually are, and I really don't care, as you can tell. But it's been a beautiful day. I did a 3-hour long city walk and everything, so I'm good. And I wanted to say, Jeff, also now on the show, I already said it before, happy birthday.
Thank you.
Since this is your birthday and you're spending it with us, at least for a little while.
I am. And now you understand why there's a holiday for you today.
Oh, yeah, that totally makes sense. I should put that in, put it on Wikipedia.
Yes.
January 6th is Jeff Gamet's birthday. That's the public holiday.
Yep. The cake feast of St. Jeffrey.
Okay. St. Jeffrey of Gamet.
I love it. Okay. Let's start a cult. This will be great. We're all gonna get rich.
Yeah. Well, I think there's a good chance. Yeah.
Yeah.
There's also a 50-50 chance that we're all gonna get killed, but who knows?
But could get rich. But you're right. Mm-hmm. It's a 50-50 thing. We get rich or we get killed. There's basically no in between on that one.
No. Nope.
Yeah. Big risk, big payoff. Anyhow, so this is our first show of the year, and like we did for the first Mac show in 2022, we totally ran with Patrice's idea of let's do predictions.
Mm-hmm.
And so we did. And so Patrice, we need to find out how our predictions from last year panned out.
Oh, yes.
and then make new predictions for this year.
Correct. So I opened the document from last year. It says the BTN Mac Show Annual Guessies. I don't know. That was the name we came up for last year. So we had 4 people putting in their predictions last year. It was actually, in fact, it's interesting. This year, neither Dave nor Chuck are here because they're at CES, but they were here last year. We did 2 rounds and we had some rather interesting predictions. So I'm just going to dive into it. Chuck said the Apple stock price would close over $205 at some point this year. Wow. I think we went all the way up to 180 or something, if I remember correctly. 185 or 187. And now we're down to, I think, 120 or something like that. That definitely ouch. It was possible, but I mean, just look back, what kind of a year this was. Yeah, no, didn't happen.
I'm glad Chuck was jumping into the year with a positive attitude.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I hope he didn't buy any stock because would have lost most of it.
Yeah, and look at it this way. At least he wasn't as off his stock as Tesla.
Oh, that is so true. That is so true.
There is that.
Jeff, you said Apple will announce that start of product. What? Apple will announce that start of production in new studios. Okay, I don't know what I wrote down here. I think Apple will announce start of production in new studios. Probably makes more sense. Didn't happen.
There's
no new Apple studios. There's no any announcement about any kind of production in any kind of studio, actually. Don't think Apple talks about that very much.
The only way I could have been more wrong with that prediction is if Apple had shut down Apple TV Plus.
Oh, that's true. Which totally could have happened. David said Apple will introduce a new iPad Pro. Wow, that's a hard word to say. iPad Pro. You would think that I would know that. A new iPad Pro that is using wireless charging. And they did not. In fact, we got a very small spec bump of the iPad Pro, and that was basically it. So no big changes. Yeah, there was a chance.
The closest we came to a real change in charging technology was the addition of USB-C to more iPad models.
Yeah, and even for wireless charging, I think, I mean, there was, I don't think there was any change this year whatsoever. There's no new devices who got wireless charging, right?
No.
Yeah, in fact, it's been announced that more Android devices are getting MagSafe than Apple devices.
Yeah, that is true for this year, yes. So that was also wrong. And I said Apple will release a new display that is priced under $1,000. I had to put in the $1,000 for some reason. If I had just, probably too obvious, if I had just said, oh, they're going to release a new display, I would have gotten that on. But nope. It was 1500. I think it's like 1500 base price, right? Something like that.
1599.
Okay, 1600 even. So yeah, I was right on the display, which probably was rumored at that point, but I was definitely way off on the price. I wish that would have been cool.
Like, but... Chuck, you went into the year with a positive attitude.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was hoping. I mean, if they had done that, I probably would have ordered one. But 1600 plus 20% taxes, no. Also, yeah, I think it's like 1750 in euros here. So a little bit much.
That's a lot of money.
That's a lot of money. Okay, that was our first round. And then in the second round, we had some other really interesting predictions. So there's one that I'm not 100% sure which way to judge that one. Chuck said that WWDC will be fully virtual once again. And technically it was not, because there were some people on site for something.
But most of the show was. Mm-hmm. I'm going to lean towards it was not completely virtual, therefore Chuck was wrong.
Yeah, I think his intention was, okay, it's like in 2021, there is nothing on site, it's all virtual, like everything, which it wasn't. It was, there was at least a small thing, there was this Apple Developer Center and so on.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that's what I thought too, but I wasn't 100% sure, so I wanted to open that up. Jeff, you got one right.
No way.
Yes. a surprise of the year, you said Apple Watch will have a body temperature sensor, and they do. The new Apple Watch Series 8 that I have, and I think also the Ultra, definitely also the Ultra, does have a body temperature sensor. So
yeah,
you got that
right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There was another Apple Watch prediction that also turned out to be true. Because Dave said Apple will release he called it rugged design Apple Watch, and that is clearly the Apple Watch Ultra.
Nice.
So, got that one. And I mean, think about it. He said that in January, and we got it in September. So, good one. I got another one wrong. So, I'm definitely out of contention for winning this year. Winning the last year. I said there will be a new hardware audio product released this year. And I meant not like a new pair of AirPods Pro or something, which we got, but like a new product, like a new speaker or something, mm-hmm. something that we hadn't seen before. And we didn't. Didn't get any more HomePods, didn't get anything else. No, nothing from Apple, as far as I remember, at least. I mean, even Beats, they only revamped their line. They didn't do anything.
Wait, when did we get the in-between model of the AirPods? Was that this year?
Because
we have the AirPods and the AirPods Pro, and then the one that's in between that looks like the AirPods Pro, but doesn't have all the AirPods Pro features.
Was that this year? That was this year, but it's technically the third generation AirPod. It's named AirPods third generation. So it's technically just the same thing in a little bit better.
Yeah. I tried to get you a point there.
Yeah, thank you. But we already have a two-way tie, so don't make it three-way. So that means we have two people fighting for the first place, which are Jeff and David. And as our rules say, we have to do a coin toss. So since you're the only one here, Jeff, you get to pick heads or tails.
I'll pick heads.
Okay. Yeah. Hey Siri, toss a coin. Heads. You won.
Woohoo! I get to be the king or queen.
You get to be the king or queen of BTNBS for this year.
I'm honored with the privilege.
Hey. So we had some non-graded picks I wanted to briefly mention. Jeff, you said the M-Series Mac Pro and expansion ports. We did not get any Mac Pro update.
Nope.
Apple announces AR VR device, but it's only available as developer kit. Nope. Didn't hear anything about it other than some rumors. Chuck went negative on the non-graded ones. He said no circular Apple Watch. True. No colored AirPods. Also true. Still white. David said, find my for the case of the AirPods Pro. Yes, we did get that.
We did. Dave was on fire.
He was. He was.
I feel like he should have an honorary royalty title.
Jeff is the king.
Prince.
Dave is the duke. Dave is the count.
The count. Okay. Count of Apple predictions. But Dave also said we would get lossless. He said lossless audio. I don't even know what it meant, but I just said it wrong.
I think I'm assuming he was talking about high res.
He probably meant for the AirPods or for like wireless something. I'm guessing.
I bet you're right, because we already had high-res audio at that point. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. So that's why I'm guessing it was about, because we don't have them for like AirPods and stuff. So I'm guessing that's why. I said there would be a bigger size iMac, and it will be named iMac Pro. iMac is still dead. iMac Pro is still dead.
iMac Pro is still dead.
Yeah, so did not.
I don't expect that name to come back.
No, I think it's after the September, the March event last year, I think it was pretty clear that it's not coming back. Apple has decided to go with the studio name, and it's probably better. I think the I in front of F devices is slowly dying.
I agree.
Okay, so that was last year. Let me count. So out of the graded predictions, we did 2 out of 8. So a quarter of our predictions were correct.
That's better than I expected.
Yeah. Out of the non-graded ones, we have 3 out of 7 that we got correct. So two of them were easy, to be honest.
Yep. So we're great when nothing is on the line.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, to be fair, the one from Chuck, like no circular Apple Watch, no colored AirPods, I think those were quite easy ones. So that brings us to 2023 and what we think is going to happen this year. And I have the show document ready. And I'm going to read the rules again, just to repeat. So we will have multiple rounds, depending on the number of panelists. Since we're only three, we'll do 3 rounds. In each round, each panelist introduces one prediction about the upcoming year. The prediction period starts with the first show of the year, so today, and ends on December 31st. Anything before or after does not count. So anything that has already been announced or happened, or anything that happens end of the year after the 31st. So January 1st next year, don't care. Predictions have to be like concrete and have to be deemed risky enough. So if you say, oh, Apple will release software. Okay, Apple will have a new iOS release. Also not, like, it's not risky. Like, I mean, what are the chances that Apple is going to do no iOS release this year? I would say zero. So
yeah,
not that, I mean, you're going to win that one. That's boring. So let's not do that. Let's have some risk and like try to do something. Other panelists cannot repeat predictions. Once someone has picked it, it's off the table. So if Jeff says something about the VR headset that is going to come, that's going to ship, I can't say it's shipping. Like, just doesn't work that way. But I could say it's not shipping. That might work. A prediction is deemed correct if it's proven to have happened until December or before December 31st. I should change that.
By the end of December 31st.
Yeah. By the end of December 31st. Rumors do not count as proof. So just because someone on some website rumored to that something could have happened doesn't matter. If it doesn't come out of Apple's official mouth, I would say, spokesperson, whatever, if it's not officially announced spokes machine, yeah, could be a chat GPT bot or something at this point.
Yes,
this point next year. But if it doesn't come out of that, we can't prove it that it's true, so it doesn't count. And the person with the highest, go ahead, Ben.
I was gonna say, I can't use all those Max Tech videos as proof.
Unfortunately, no. No, we have to, I mean, if someone, like, if I fix it, did a teardown of a device and you can see the chips, I think that would count. It's just about, especially about rumors, because, I mean, that's more or less hearsay. The person with the highest number of correct predictions wins and is named king or queen of BTNBS for that year. In case of a tie, a coin toss, as we just saw, will decide the winner. And with that, with those official rules, let's start with our birthday boy, Jeff, and I'll give you the first prediction.
Okay. I am going to double down on a prediction from last year. This is the year that Apple rolls out their AI developer kit.
AI? You mean
I'm sorry. AR. AR developer kit.
AI developer kit. I think it's called what is that GPT? Called?
No.
Yeah, I mean,
yep. Here is the AI development kit.
No, I mean, your iPhone already has some machine ML, like some machine learning in it. So I think we're a couple of years past that one.
Yeah, that would be a late.
Yeah, AR or VR, I guess, doesn't matter, right?
Yeah,
I'll give you both.
Okay,
AR or VR, whatever they do. Close enough. Okay. So you're talking about the developer kit. My top prediction is something I've been saying. Bob Beach is saying it's a post-diction. Okay.
Okay. Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
Now, the problem is when you get a post-diction wrong, you really need to step up your game.
Oh yeah, that is so hard. I'm gonna say no AR VR headset ships this year. No shipping version. So the question is, would the developer kit count?
No,
as the shipping. I would say no. It has to be to customers.
I agree. It's like when Apple did the M series developer kits. I mean, that was an M series machine that was out there, but it wasn't shipping to the public. So I wouldn't have counted that either.
Yeah, and they've done it for the Apple TV and they've done it for the Apple Watch because I got both of them. I think I got like an Apple TV for like a dollar or something because of that.
Yeah, that was a great way to get an Apple TV.
Yeah, one of the, I think it was it one of the HD versions or was it? I think it was the third gen, the very first with apps. Well, with real apps. Yeah, I'm going to say no AR VR headset ships to real customers this year. So developers, fine. Could happen, but definitely nothing shipping that people, normal people could get and use this year. Yeah, I'm sticking with my prediction. We're getting it either WWDC or in September, or like let's say early fall, announced, and then it will ship probably sometime mid 2024.
Yep,
something like that.
I think you won points towards your queen title for 2023.
Let's see. I mean, Apple could surprise us. You never know.
Yeah, but I think you're right on this one.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, for all we know, nothing happens at all. So,
just like last year.
Just like last year, exactly. So, Ben, what is your first prediction for 2023? Well,
I am going to go super risky here. I think Apple will announce a product with a third-party ARM processor.
Wow.
Okay.
And the reason that I think this, from all the rumors that I've been hearing, I think Apple Silicon has had some trouble scaling up to the Mac Pro range. So I think, since Apple does not sell enough Mac Pros to warrant its own processor, I think they'll use a heavily Apple customized ARM Neoverse solution, which will give
that
them
is
ECC.
Interesting.
Because they get ECC RAM. There's already the interconnect technologies there to be used in a pretty much the existing third generation chassis.
That is an interesting one. I mean, on one hand, Apple is technology wise so far ahead that you would like you could think like why would they do that? But I think they know very well how many Mac Pros the high end Mac Pros they've sold.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure that number is very low. And the question for them becomes like, is it worth developing a bespoke chip for that number of people?
And also they know exactly what sacrifices those customers are willing to make.
That's true. Like, can they live without a terabyte of RAM, for example?
Yep. So if they're willing to live without DIMM slots or, upgradable GPUs, then possibly there could be a solution there. But at the same time, I think there's that law of diminishing returns when it comes to the Apple Silicon SoCs, because the larger that chip gets, the more heat it gives off, which is why in this case a more quote-unquote Intel style solution may work better for that customer base.
I'm going to throw out a crackpot idea to go along with that. What if it isn't a hybrid chip per se, like you were describing? What if the third-party ARM processor they use is the bridge to all the other stuff, so that developers don't or their users don't have to make concessions? So you have the M series processors running the whole show, But then the extra interface stuff that goes along with RAM slots and expansion slots, that's being bridged through a third-party processor.
I did think
about... CPU core co-processor.
A CPU core co-processor, yes.
Wow. Yeah,
I did think about that. But I think with the time Apple has already spent on trying to come up with an in-house solution, at least in the initial version of the Apple Silicon Mac Pro, going with an off-the-shelf solution with some Apple machine learning cores and other Apple add-ons would allow such a machine to get out the door faster and give them extra time.
I would disagree there. This decision was made 3, 4, 5 years ago. They already, that's how long the time frames are. They already knew that this would not happen and this would not work probably like 3 years ago. So they have had time to partner with someone and get that right if they want to. And Jeff, I like your crackpot idea because this is exactly the kind of crazy that Apple would do. Mm-hmm. Okay, so that is our first round. Jeff, second round. What's your second prediction for this year?
I'm trying to decide what my second prediction should really be. Okay. My second prediction for this year is that I'm looking at my list. Okay, here we go. Apple is going to score at least 2 Oscars this year.
Okay.
Just to clarify the award, Jeff doesn't win if Apple goes and picks up a couple of fish.
Yes.
Academy Awards. Let's call it
Academy Awards.
Yes.
I think they would have a shoe-in for best actor in Emancipation, except that Will Smith cannot participate in the Oscars for 10 years.
Yeah. Well, he cannot attend. He can't, like, the movies can still participate.
Right. But since isn't he barred from being nominated?
I don't think so, but I don't think anybody would do it.
I agree.
Yeah.
So he is, for practical purposes, barred from being nominated.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I think was Coda at last year's Oscars or is that this year? I don't remember.
I don't remember
because that one would be an obvious one for me to get one.
And and Coda did get one.
Okay, so that was last year.
I guess that was.
But given the star power that Apple TVs, well, all like the movies and shows, TV shows have had, like all the stars that are on there, given the quality of the shows, I think 2 is doable. Yeah, and there's clearly nothing barring streaming services from getting Oscars anymore. I mean, it used to be that way that, like, if you were on streaming, you had no chance.
Yeah, the way the rules are written, streaming only could not qualify. You had to have a certain amount of in theater time.
Yeah, I think that is technically still true, but it's easy enough to get around these days.
Yeah,
the bar wasn't the in theater time, because as I said, that was like you pick. I think that's what a lot of streaming services did. They would pick some theaters, run it for whatever the minimum was
for
they
like
had
a
to.
Month
and then say, okay, we did it. No, it was more that it was simply not acceptable for a streaming show to be nominated. Like good old snobbery, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Bob Beach is saying that Apple getting two awards isn't much to ask, and wonders if my prediction should be more specific.
Yep. So
I would say, go ahead, jump in.
And since Bob Beach is saying it has to be a major award, Apple has to win a leg lamp during it.
A leg lamp?
Christmas Story.
Yeah. It's for Gile.
Yes. I don't know, Ben, how do you feel about it? Is it risky enough for you, or should we clarify it and say it has to be a major award? Like, it's not like best, whatever.
Yeah, I would say probably the major awards, because
awards, okay. Yep.
Because then they get it for like cool best score or something, and I'm not demeaning the scores here. But
yeah, I mean, it could be like best lampshade in a leading role. I don't know. Best film, best director, best actor, stuff like that. Best animated movie.
Best adapted screenplay, that kind of thing.
Okay. Not the ones that they would usually hide, like in the break or after the show.
Yeah, not the stuff that they do in the secondary show.
Okay.
The one that doesn't actually get aired.
Yeah, I think best costume or something is also on. Yeah.
I do have to say, it would be funny if Jeff won on best craft services.
That would be funny.
Vinny won for best craft services again. It's all about the quality of the cold cuts.
It's all about the bison burgers.
That's right.
That would win best.
That probably would, yeah. Bob
Beach, there is an Academy Award for best costume designer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there definitely is. I'm going to go with a hardware pick, and I'm going to say we will see larger size iPads this year. So, and larger means bigger than the, 12.9, I think, inch that we have right now. So, and I'm thinking 14, 15, something that 16, something that size. So it's not 12.95 or something. Like, larger means significantly larger than what we have. Even 13, I would say it's basically 13, the same.
Yeah.
If it was 13.0 or 13.1, that's basically 12.9. Like, that's probably even the case is probably the same, and it just shifted things around a little bit. So
Bob Beach is asking, do you mean like 14?
14 plus, probably.
Okay, that's good.
Yeah, I'm thinking, I mean, they have the technology, clearly, because they have MacBooks. I think they can produce touchscreens that size. They have the software, like now with the, what's it called? Screenplay. What is it called, that display thingy? The new thing that was broken half of the time. Stage manager.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Since they have that, I think they have all the pieces in place to do this. And people have been asking for it, so. Yeah, I'll add 14 inches plus. Yeah, I think 14 is the minimum for me. Otherwise it's basically the same. Okay, Ben, what is your second prediction?
Okay, I'm going to go risky on this.
Again?
I think at least with some of the USB-C / Thunderbolt iPads, there will be an option to run macOS.
Ooh, okay. So deer will be an option to run macOS on an iPad.
Yep.
Right? All right. Doesn't matter which one, just as long as it's an option, an official option, like not a third party, an official option from Apple.
Yes.
Like I'm pretty sure some third party could figure out how to flash macOS on it, but
oh yeah.
I think that's actually already happened.
It probably has, yeah.
Yeah, because I will say this. Every iPad that has a has USB-C does have macOS drivers.
Yeah, that was the interesting thing. Like, I mean, iOS or iPhone OS, how it was called in the beginning, was a fork of macOS back then,
yeah.
And then it diverged, and then Apple very deliberately pushed them together again.
But not just that. The A12X and A12Z ran macOS through the development kit.
Yeah.
And the A14 and A15 are the same cores as the M1 and M2 generations.
Yeah, I mean, that's not even a surprise. And I mean, since the M series, you can run iOS apps or iPadOS apps on your Mac natively. Yeah. And it wasn't even, I don't think it was very hard to do that because the frameworks were very similar.
And from the actual design of macOS 11 onward, it's pretty clear that they designed it that if they wanted to add touch support,
It
wouldn't be that hard from a software basis.
Let's say from the operating systems. I think the software on it would be a different story because, like, I mean, I don't know, running a Pixelmator with touchscreen might be a little bit more of a challenge.
Bob Beach is saying nope on this, and
I would agree with him.
Yeah, technically possible, but he thinks that they'll keep the OSs separate for each device.
From my perspective, there is simply no reason to do it. They have the iPads. They're clearly quite happy to sell you an iPad, as I just said, probably even larger ones. So from my perspective, there's simply no reason to do it. Like, I mean, maybe eventually, like, you know, on an infinite time scale, eventually the two might merge. But I don't think there's any reason for Apple to do that.
There you go. So,
yeah, but we'll see. It's definitely risky, but possible.
Which is why I don't think it'll be standard.
Mm-hmm.
But I think there's enough people in the professional world that are calling for it where it might be possible.
Unless there's a strategy behind it where Apple wants to go in a certain direction, I don't see it. Because, I mean, the voices have gotten less and less because of the new 14 and 16-inch MacBook Pros and the iPad and the MacBook Air. Because the devices are so small and light that there's very little difference between that and an iPad. Other than touch, there's no difference. So why would you run macOS? But as I said, I mean, it's anything is possible.
Bob Beach is kind of reading my mind because he's saying, wouldn't they have to make macOS touch enabled? And they're not going to do that. Here's the problem I see with going touch enabled on a Mac. It would require a major redesign of how the interface actually works. Otherwise, you end up with what we have, or an experience like what we've seen on Windows, where your target areas are the wrong size for touch, and it becomes a less than Apple level experience.
Yeah. But I'm gonna nope that one because Swift UI. With Swift UI, you can write the same code and it works. I mean, I'm doing that right now. It works on all platforms. And Apple has clearly figured out the touch, like the touch target sizes for that.
Yeah. I mean,
that's a good point.
Yeah. I think Apple has everything figured out from a software solution. It's just the, I think it's to the point where do they want to keep iPadOS simple enough to where it's an in between device between a Mac and an iPhone, or do they want to make it essentially an alternative device path to the MacBooks?
We'll see about that.
I don't see it as an in between device. I see it as Apple having their mobile, which for I'm going to really narrow my definition of mobile for this instance, which is iPhone.
Yeah.
And then you have your larger computing devices, and you have one platform for that, which is the Mac, and so that's the platform where you have the more traditional interface, you have the traditional external storage options and input systems, and then you have their other platform, which is the touch-based one. Both can still be professional. Both can still be consumer. Neither is an in-between. They're just two approaches for giving us a platform that's not the iPhone.
A computing platform.
So. Yeah, computing platforms.
Okay, I'm going to move us on to round three because we could talk about this for like...
I forgot ages, about round three.
Yeah, we have another round. So, like, Jeff, what is your round three?
My round three is actually inspired by Ben.
Ooh.
Ben, I think that Apple is going to make the iPad Pro even more pro this year. And they're going to release a device that an accessory for the iPad Pro that is akin to the PowerBook Duo. So it's basically a dock designed for the iPad. And when you attach your iPad to Apple's dock, it basically turns your iPad into a desktop computer. So it's still an iPad running iPad OS, running all of your iPad apps, but it's Apple's all-in-one solution for just taking your iPad, setting it down, and it's automatically connected to all of the peripherals that you're going to be using.
I'm just thinking about, we do already have, what is it called? The Magic, what is that stand called?
Magic Folio?
The bigger, the big expensive one.
The Magic Keyboard.
Aren't they calling it Magic Keyboard?
Could be. I don't remember what it's called, but it's like, it's the really expensive stand. And I think that one is technically still already a dock, right? I think it is. I think it has USB ports.
It has a USB port. I thought it was for charging. I'm going to double check the Magic Keyboard.
Yeah. I think it might be the Magic Keyboard. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm looking at it right now. Magic Keyboard available in white or black.
Okay, just for charging is what Bobby just saying.
Yeah, just for charging.
Okay. Then I think we can allow that one. Because I was just thinking, isn't that already on the market? But if it's like, but it's the same, going the same direction, right? It's basically you attach the iPad to it and it becomes a, maybe not a full Mac, but at least
More Mac Lite.
Similar enough. Yeah, more Mac Lite.
Yeah, kind of like a Magic Keyboard, but with I/O.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay, a dock for the iPad Pro that turns the iPad into a desktop with ports, or with I/O ports. I think that's the important part, because charging we already have.
I agree. Mm-hmm. That's the important part.
Okay. Okay.
Bob Beach likes my idea. Thank you for the validation, Bob. You rock.
I mm-hmm. think that's actually the least risky pick that we've had.
No, honestly, given Apple's track record on stuff like this, no.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense, and it fits mm-hmm. with what Apple's been doing with iPad OS and the iPad and accessories mm-hmm. it's already making. At the same time, if we're sitting here this time next year and Patrice says, and that's a point for Jeff, I will be stunned. Absolutely stunned.
Yeah, Apple doesn't have the best track record when it comes to like accessories in general. I mean, they did release for the very first iPad, there was that iPad stand, and it clearly went nowhere. Like, it disappeared after the first iPad, and then the Folio came back, and it had a keyboard, and that wasn't great. And then we got the magic thing that we just talked about, and yeah. It's clearly in line with it, but I mean, Apple might just forget for next 3 years, and then all of a sudden you're like, oh, we have an iPad here.
Yeah, totally plausible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it looks more or less what Apple's doing with iPad OS. Like, it's like, oh, we have iPad OS, we should do something with that.
Well, they already have one guaranteed sale, because Bob Beach says he would mm-hmm. buy one.
Okay, yeah, I think Vitici would buy one too, so there's already two.
There you go.
Okay. My second prediction. Should I go with USB-C or should I go with a display? I'm gonna stick with my prediction. I'm saying there will be no USB-C iPhone this year. There will actually be no USB-C iPhone ever, but definitely not this year. They technically have until 2024 to do it. They right. clearly don't want to do it. And I'm still maintaining that they're going to go all in on wireless. Even like, I mean, we heard about G2 now, where Apple wants to push the standard and so on. I think Apple is clearly going all in on wireless, and they're not going to do it. But they're going to stick it, given what the EU is doing, they're going to stick it out as long as they can.
Mm-hmm. I think... rolling MagSafe into G2 was definitely aimed at the EU.
Oh, 100%.
Because the Apple is smart enough to know where they're going.
Mm-hmm. I mean, the decisions for this year's iPhone were made probably 2 years ago, mm-hmm. 2 or 3 years ago. The big decisions, like minor things, they can, like software especially, they can still adjust. But I think, I mean, even like iOS 17, I think is locked in at this point. I mean, minus something that doesn't work out and they can't ship, but what they want to ship is locked in. Mm-hmm. Because that's how long it takes to develop things. Like, it's not something where they can, like the rumor thing that Apple decided last second to change a display. Yeah, that didn't happen. That, it takes years to develop things like that. They might have had two things in the works and decided A or B at some point.
Mm-hmm.
But changing something last minute doesn't work. So as I said, Apple already knows what they're doing. It was really interesting when they talked about like the EU regulations and basically I think someone from Apple said, yeah, they're going to comply with it. They didn't say what they're going to do. They just said, yeah, obviously we're going to comply with it. Mm-hmm. So, that was the most non-answer you can give. Yeah, of course they're going to comply with it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so we'll
Patrice,
see.
Patrice, I think you're getting a point for this one too.
There's a chance that Apple just says, okay, wireless is not ready and we're going to go USB-C for now. Or we're going to do USB-C, but only on the highest end iPhone Pro Max, whatever, the most expensive one for the really professionals. There is a chance, and I'm saying on none of them we get USB-C. So,
Bob Beach is asking about data transfer speeds with wireless.
They're already bigger than what you can get off your iPhone right now.
Yeah, I can't remember the last time I hooked up my iPhone to my Mac.
Yeah, I mean, the reality is with Lightning right now, Lightning is USB 2.0. Yeah. So the wireless speed you're getting off your iPhone over your Wi-Fi is faster than USB 2 speed.
And Bob is asking about USB-C connection. I think on most iPads, USB-C is still USB 2.
Well,
I think that is USB 3, actually.
Yeah, it's USB 2.0 on the iPad 10. USB 3.2. Mm-hmm. Well, one of the USB 3 variants on all the iPad Pros or iPad Airs.
The iPad Pros have Thunderbolt anyway. So
yeah. Well, the newer Pros, M series Pros.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. As I said, I don't think data transfer speed. I mean, data transfer speeds are a problem, but they're already a problem with Lightning. So I don't think, very few people seem to care. So I don't think that's a big concern.
I want it for purely simplifying my cable situations, which honestly, given this week's announcements, it simplified my cables since I presumably Qi2 will be backwards compatible. Which means finding cables and chargers will be a lot more simple.
Yeah, they could upgrade it totally. They could have put USB-C in 5 years ago, 7 years ago, if they wanted to. Nothing stopped them from doing so. But as I said, they knew that they wanted to go away from USB, I think. Otherwise, they would have done it quite a while ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, once the EU started knocking, and that was years ago, and said, hey, you should do USB-C and all of that, they could have done it at any point, and they decided not to because they knew where they wanted to go. So, as I said, no USB-C iPhones. Okay, Ben, your last prediction for this year.
I will go with a bit of controversy with this one. I think Apple will lean into the DMA and an Apple Silicon native version of Steam for Mac, iPad, and iPhone will be announced on stage. Well, quote unquote on stage, since it's not being done on stage anymore at WWDC.
Okay, so a Apple, let me write that down. An Apple Silicon native version of Steam.
Yes.
Interesting.
Will be announced at WWDC. Okay, I can totally see that happening.
Because I mean, as far as the third party stores, Valve and Steam is a brand you can trust. And it gives Apple the optics without looking like the bad guy here.
That's interesting. I like this one.
And here's the other interesting thing. Since essentially with Apple's modern developer tools, you develop a game for one platform, it's very easy to port it to others. Adding the iPhone and the iPad to basically the device categories makes it a lot easier to justify AAA high-profile games coming to Apple platforms.
And I mean, they've been clearly pushing in that direction. They have, I mean, they are, I think by all accounts, one of the biggest gaming platforms in the world because they're, they have mobile gaming, basically. With like a couple billion of people.
And here's the other thing. Apple TV works with most controllers on the market right now. And the 2022 version is orders of magnitude more capable than the Nintendo Switch.
Yeah, I mean, it's still no PlayStation 5 or anything like that. But that's also not the market that Apple is after. Yeah, I can totally see that. I mean, I've heard from game developers that are saying Metal, especially the, what was it, new Metal 3, I think, that they announced last year.
Yeah, Metal 3 with the Metal upscaling.
Yeah, is massive and is a game changer for them. And it's like, I mean, it's an entirely new game for them, basically, pun intended. So as I said, if Apple can convince someone like Steam to do that, or Valve to do that, that would be massive. Yeah, probably interesting.
You know what else is massive? The support TSO host.
TSO host.
Very good.
It's true. TSO host is a great company that offers top class web hosting services. And so what they're doing, because they love us here at BTN, is they're giving us the hosting space we need for our website and the bandwidth we need to stream content to you every week. That also means we have a place for all of the show files to live so that when you want to watch or listen at your leisure, well, you can do that because TSO host is here helping us out. And seriously, the resources it would take for us to do this without TSO host just generously giving us this, it wouldn't happen. So we would not be here. So we are so glad that TSO host is here supporting us. Now, here's what we can do to support them. Go out onto social media and tell TSO hosts that you appreciate that they are here supporting BTN. Just give them a thank you. And that's all they're asking for. And if it turns out, though, that you need to get a domain name, you need to have some hosting, use them because they offer really great services and really great support. So when you get to checkout, use the discount code BTN20 and you'll get 20% off your order. So not only are they being incredibly generous by helping us keep BTN running, they're being incredibly generous by giving everyone discounts. So thank you, TSO host. You rock. Also, Patrice, you rock because you are so patient and every single week you're like, sure, I'll do the info about the chat. So please.
Of course. I'll do the long introduction beginning of the year because maybe not everybody knows how this works. So when we record the show live, which we do every Friday at 4 p.m. UK time, usually. The show times sometimes change if there's a scheduling conflict, so check the website. But usually it's 4 p.m. UK time. When we do this live, we're streaming this live at live.britishtechnetwork.com. And we also have a live chat running. And that you can find on chat.britishtechnetwork.com, like our friend Bob Beach, for example, is doing. And we're all in there, and we throw in links in there, and we throw our cool things in there and all of that. So that is the easiest way to talk to us. By the way, we also have our sister show, the Big Show, Thursdays, 7 p.m. UK time, where we talk about the non-Apple stuff. So if you're into that, like space technologies, cars, Android, Microsoft, gaming, whatever, like anything, just no Apple. Like we talk about Apple exclusively on this show. So the other show is mostly Apple-free. So here and there might be a mention, but it's mostly Apple-free. So if you're into that, Thursdays, 7 p.m. UK time, the Big Show. But let's say you are listening to this after the fact. in your favorite podcast player, wherever that is, whatever podcast player you're using, or if you're on our website at britishtechnetwork.com, and you're listening there, also fine. And like, you're listening to us and you're like, oh, I want to know what they talked about. Totally not a problem, because our live chat is recorded. So you can go in at britishtechnetwork.com/chat. And then you have to select the date. You can see all the chat transcripts from the last, I don't know how many years. Long time.
Many.
Many, many years. So you can go back to any of them and see what we've talked about. But if you want to know what we talked about in the chat today, then you have to select today's date, which is the 7th of January, 2023. And when you do
it's
that, you will see...
It's the 6th.
Oh, it's the 6th. You're right. I put it incorrectly. I was like, oh, I put it in wrong. It's the 6th. Yes, you're right. It's the 6th Friday, of course. Friday, January 6th, 2023. And if you put that in, you will see everything that we have talked about today. Obviously, you can't live chat with us because that's not how it works, but you can at least see it. It's the 7th if you're in Australia. Thank you, Ben.
There we go.
And yeah. Ben, you know, you could have said that on the show. But he said it in the chat.
All right. So, Patrice, thank you very much. I'm so glad you have my back.
Yeah. Anytime, Ben.
Let's do some cool things.
Yes, let's do it. Okay. Should I go first? No, let's go. Let's Ben, you go first because I talk too much.
Well, I'm going to be talking a lot about this one. A few days ago, there was a limited spinoff of a very hit Netflix show and video game franchise released, called The Witcher Blood Origin. It pretty much tells the tale of the... It's kind of like the... It's like the Cimmerillion of The Witcher. It tells you kind of what happened at the beginning. And you know what? I like it for the same reasons. And if you're looking for any recurring characters, yes, you can definitely toss a coin to the bard.
Awesome. And that's on Netflix?
That's on Netflix.
Cool.
Yep, and it's one of the few things worth the $20 price.
Okay, awesome. All right, so Witcher, the Silmarillion on Netflix.
Witcher, Blood Origin.
Blood Origin.
Which I should have actually prepared a link.
But I bet it'll be in the chat before long.
Oh, yes, it will be.
Yes. Just one second here.
Okay, I will, in the meantime, go with my cool thing. So my cool thing is a new keyboard, a new one that I bought. It is the, I'll try to hold that in the camera so you can see it. It is the Magic Keyboard with Touch ID.
Nice.
I wanted to buy this for a long time. I have also the old Magic Keyboard. I'm a big fan of the Magic Keyboard. I know some people don't like them. I actually like them a lot because they're kind of small, lightweight. The keyboards, like the keys are good. Like they're basically the MacBook keyboards.
They're surprisingly portable. That's what I like about
them. They're really portable. They're super light and they're super sturdy and last quite a long time. They charge still with lightning. Really funny, and I don't know if they changed that. So the one I have, this one has Touch ID, and I said I wanted to buy one for forever, and I have that Logitech, the Solar keyboard, which is a really good keyboard, but it's not an Apple keyboard, and I especially want the Touch ID because I run my Macs a lot of time in clamshell mode, and then you can't use Touch ID because that is not accessible. So I thought about it and I'm like, and it's like $150 or whatnot. And then I decided I'm just going to, like, one, I get some percentage through my employer. I get like 10% off or something. And two, Why not? So I bought this one and I really like it. And the setup was surprisingly easy. I thought I would have to set up Touch ID and anything. Nope. Connected it to my Mac and that was it. Works.
And it just knew. Yep. That's awesome.
It just knew. It just pairs it and knows. So it's good. Yeah, and what's really cool is I don't know if that's new. This ships with a braided Lightning to USB-C cable.
Oh, nice.
And I'm like, I didn't know. But did they change? Because, I mean, it used to be the standard. I bet they changed that at some point. Because, I mean, the new MacBooks come with a braided MagSafe cable. So maybe that's when they changed it. I don't know. But it was a nice surprise. I mean, it's like, it's a cable. Like, it's not nothing fancy. But it's like, I'm like, cool. But it still charges with Lightning. So it's probably one of the last Lightning devices that Apple will change.
I briefly had the extended version. Before I decided to downsize my setup to a portable monitor. But it is just an excellent keyboard, the quality you would expect from Apple. And like Patrice said, it just works.
Exactly. You're right. There is a extended, like, with, if you want the full size keyboard with like the numeric keypad and the full size arrow keys and all of it for $199, you can have it as well. And it comes in black or white. This one is only available in white. So, but I don't need the num keys. I don't need anything. I really like this one. So I got that.
Nice. Very nice. I have a friend here in Boulder that has the same keyboard. Absolutely loves it. And same reason. They use their MacBook Pro in clamshell mode a lot, and they want a Touch ID.
Yeah. Touch ID is, I mean, I have the Apple Watch, and it kind of sometimes works and sometimes doesn't. You know, the Apple Watch unlock. It's never been super reliable for some reason. But Touch ID always has. So, yeah. And it's the perfect companion to, like, the Magic Trackpad, if I could show that here. Like, it's exactly the same. So.
Because works. Apple thinks about things like that.
Mm-hmm. Yes, they did.
Awesome.
Yeah. All right, $149 if you want to buy.
Awesome. Okay, my pick is less than $149. It's $20, and it's not as sexy as the keyboard, but it's actually really useful if you're. Like me and like so many people, where we kind of have this thing about Apple Watch bands. So this is the Apple Watch band case that I bought, and it holds like 30 bands, and it has some pockets in there, so like you can toss in charger cables or other little accessories, whatever. And it's turned out to be one of those purchases where I thought, oh, okay, well, I should probably get all these watch bands out of the drawer that they're just piled in, so I can keep track of what idea. I have. And so I found this, I bought it, and then it turns out that, wow, it's actually nice, and it works really well. And Bob Beach is asking how many bands I have. Right now, not nearly as many as I did, because I've actually given away several to people that that had like broken their watch band, and I'd say, oh, well, I have one that's basically the same as that. Here, just take it. So I think right now I'm at like 12, 15 bands.
I have like 7 maybe, and I really use 2.
Yeah, it's interesting to look at my collection of bands. It's probably closer to 12 that I have now, but you can look and see, like an archaeological dig going back in time, what band I used most at some point in my Apple Watch life. And at any given time, I'm probably using a couple of the bands a lot. And then occasionally one of the others. Anyhow, so this is $20, and it's a nice Apple Watch Band case.
No, it's I'll be
not digging. Available here. Too bad.
Oh, I'll be digging into this. I am currently using an old wood watch box for my bands.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
Yeah, I have some random box that I found somewhere.
And I just had a drawer that they were all piling up in.
Too bad. I will have to see if I can find something like that, because that's actually a very good idea.
I do like it a lot. Hey, Ben, where can people find you?
Well, you can find me at Ben Rithig on most social media.
Awesome.
And you can also find me here Thursday and Friday.
Awesome. Awesome. Patrice, where can people find you?
Well, I'm here every week on the Mac Show every Friday, also on the Big Show every Thursday. Everything I'm doing, all the social media links, including Twitter still, even though other than posting the show every week, I'm not on Twitter at all. But you can find my Mastodon link and everything else on thepatrice.com. Keep an eye on that one, because I'm working, or I have been working for a year almost exactly on an app. It's almost ready. Right now I'm working on like websites and stuff. So at some point there will be a new password manager on the market.
And I'm looking forward to the official release.
It will come. That's getting ready for like wider betas right now. Yeah, I'm just finding random bugs here and there. So
yeah, just remember, Patrice, I'm pretty wide for that beta.
Hey, you can find me on all the social medias. I am Jay Gamut. Mastodon, Instagram, Twitter, whatever. That's how you find me. YouTube. And let's see. So Tuesdays, Mac Voices Live. Thursdays on The Big Show. Thursday evenings on In Touch with iOS. Here on Fridays on The Mac Show. And then also on The Context Machine, Brian Chaffin and I did record an episode a day or so ago. And it will be up as soon as Brian can get it posted.
It's not up yet.
No, well... I knew that when it didn't go up yesterday, it was there was a lot going on that was keeping Brian away from his computer. So hopefully it goes up today. And it's a lot of fun. So hey, thank you to both of you for kicking off the Mac Show for 2023 with me, and for making my Friday and my birthday just so much fun. You were both awesome. And if we were together, I would give each of you a hug and hold it just long enough so it's only slightly awkward, which I do appreciate. Could be a very long time. That's okay. Both of you, you rock. And thank you to everyone that's watching or listening live. So glad that you were here. You are all awesome. And for everyone that tunes in later to watch or listen to the recordings, thank you for being part of the BTN family as well. You are all awesome. A shout out, a thank you to Mueller for keeping us herded together enough so that we always have people for the shows. Thank you, Ewan, for being the heart of the British Tech Network. You rock. And hey, TSO hosts, thank you for being here. Give them some online love. And don't forget to tune in next Thursday for the Big Show, and then join us again next Friday for the Mac Show. And everyone, have a wonderful weekend.